into the presence of the Holy One who heals. Amen. Healing just takes place when we need it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't seek deliverance. We seek the deliverer. In His presence, praise God. Whatever brings us into His presence is going to take care of all of our needs. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why this message is so important. Because so many churches have lost true worship. Timed. It's convenient for the so-called Sunday morning worshipers who many times don't have a clue about what true worship really represents. Can you say, man, you get lost in the Lord, you don't watch a clock anymore. You get lost in the Lord, you rearrange your schedule around time in His presence. You don't rearrange time in His presence around your schedule. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that He can manifest Himself. Where He's truly honored, God is going to manifest Himself. When He manifests Himself, that manifest presence has the healing, the deliverance, the help, the uplifting. Whatever we need in our life is all in Him. And when we can come into His presence, amen, He's not going to withhold from us all that's provided through His great sacrifice. I love the Lord today. It's so good to be teaching a subject that's already paying dividends because we're learning how to enthrone Him in our praise and enter into His presence. Amen. And the fullness of joy is not just the experience of Him alone. That's primary to it. But it's all the benefits of His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for His healing today. The promised land lay beyond a great river. The promised land was kept by great cities with great walls. The promised land and the fruit thereof was defended by great armies and men of great stature. But I say unto thee what I said unto them, sanctify the people, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you, saith the Lord. The great waters will part, the great walls will fall, and the great armies and great men will fall back as I lead you into the promises of my covenant, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Amen. You know something? You don't have to preach healing every Sunday to get people healed. Amen. You just teach on how to magnify the Lord and enter into His presence so that He can manifest Himself to us. Hallelujah. Our God is already a healer. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love you today. We're glad that you're here today. We've had this in reverse. We usually have the afterglow at the end. We had the afterglow at the beginning. Who knows what we're going to have at the end. Can you say amen? God is so good today. We're so glad you're here. I'm not going to try to preach the whole message because I believe God's been preaching. We are going to receive our offering, and we want to thank you again for your giving so liberally, so wonderfully to the work of the Lord. It's part of our worship. In our giving, and I am grateful to you for the way that you have been faithful. God certainly has financial blessings attached to giving. They're very, very clear. We don't want to spiritualize the material. We don't want to materialize the spiritual. We want to keep it in the right balance. And when God said He would open the windows of heaven, He wasn't talking about pouring out spiritual blessings upon them. In essence, He was talking about sending gentle but consistent rains upon their crops. The windows of heaven was opened in the book of Job when the rain began to pour out of heaven. The windows of heaven opened and then the earth began to give forth. He speaks in other places of rains coming on their crops to prosper them as opening the windows of heaven. What comes out of heaven when God opens the windows? The gentle, nourishing, consistent rains that cause the bumper crops to come in. Former and latter rain is how He brings restoration. Can you say amen? Again, He's opening the windows of heaven. Amen. And He brings restoration not only to the land, but to the heart of the people. And He said He would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there should not be room enough for us to contain it. Amen. So God blesses us so that we actually have to give unto others if we manage his blessings properly. I want to say that this morning. Most of us have the blessing. Most of our problems is managing the blessing. See, anything God gives you has to be managed. God could give you $1 million, and you know something? There are people that have received $1 million and mismanaged it, and 5 years later ended up broken in debt. How can anyone with, well, actually several $1 million, and there's records of this, where people have received those kind of offers, how can a prize fighter end up broke and busted that made tens of millions of dollars in their lifetime and didn't manage it correctly and just wasted it on sinful indulgences, basically, and end up broke? I don't know how anyone can spend that much money, amen, but I guess I could find out, amen. But I'm telling you, it can be done. But I just want to run this by you. Yeah, I don't get that, amen. But I do want to say something to you and to me today. Part of recognizing God's blessing is, you know, you can mismanage anything. And if we were in the third world with our salary right now, oh my goodness, what lives we would be living. We'd be living simpler lives. You may live in a country where they don't have air conditioning like we do, so you wouldn't have the bill that you have by keeping it cool enough to hang meat in your living room. But amen. And most of us don't do that anymore. My son still does it. I think he would rather go hungry than do without 65 degrees. But so he's about to go hungry most of the time, it seems like. But he's cool, and maybe it'll slow him down, and he'll survive. Amen. But God teaches. God not only blesses us with things and materially, he blesses us with wisdom. I have missed that sometime. When you receive an offering while we're doing this, I'm going to ask God to bless it at the end of it, and you forgiving. But he blesses us with wisdom of how to use these things. And he gives us a value system as we mature in him, that we become so satisfied with him and with what he has provided for us that we find we get liberated and delivered from the prison of want. Everybody say, set free from the prison of want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't just talking about, you know, the extravagances. It's talking about the basics. Sheep had a place to sleep at night. They had a pasture to eat. And they had a shepherd who led them and cared for them. And the care of the shepherd calmed them and gave them such peace that they could enjoy laying down in green pasture. Can you say amen? Not always anxious about something over here or something over there. He said, wherever he is and there's pasture for us, that's where our contentment is found. Amen? Because we're kept by him, and he takes good care of us. And we're not looking for something else. This is what satisfies us. And there's so many people that are not free from the prison of want. Ever getting, but never getting enough. Even in ministerial leadership sometimes, particularly people that have come out of a poor background, seems like when they elevate to the top and they're managing millions of dollars and salaries that run into the millions of their own, it seems like they're never satisfied with what would satisfy any of us sitting right here. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're free from the prison of want, if you're happy with your home and you're happy with your life, you're happy with your wife, you're happy with your relationship with God, you're richer than some people with millions that obviously are not happy with their wives and husbands and ministries and all the things that God has blessed them with, they're still reaching out for more and more and more. And what was once God-driven becomes greed-driven. And once that happens, when people enter into that prison of want, they don't say, in whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content because I have Christ. They don't say godliness with contentment is the true riches or the great gain. Can you say, man? They begin to move toward things, and then they've got to teach that as a doctrine to justify their own misshapen values that do not reflect the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what happened to our brother this morning in terms of God's healing and helping touch cannot be bought on the open market. If you live in a house that has a $25,000 chandelier in the entryway in the foyer, and you have something that needs God's touch, without God's touch, that is not going to be a happy place, believe me. But when God touches us, I remember when I had that lesion on my tongue, Satan tormented me with fear of dying. I'd sat in a dentist office and on the wall, in case you a young man that had chewed tobacco. He was in his 30s, and this doesn't happen, but to very few people, but it happened to him in the area where he held that chaw all the time. It became irritated and went into cancer, and it began to eat away this handsome face, and this youthful, healthy young man got a big swelled area out here, and it distorted his whole face, and it told that he died a short time after that. And all this death and all these possibilities of harm that this world holds for everyone, one day everything can be fine, 24 hours can change everything. To know this God, to be able to enter into his presence, to be able to obtain what he has in covenant provided for his children, frees us from the prison of want. I don't look over the fence at somebody, and I'm talking about some gated community, and say, boy, I would be happy if I had that house, drove that car, had that lady. Because I wondered how, that was a delayed reaction. I wondered how long it would take to sink in. Amen. I'm so happy with the wife that God has given me. The Bible said to live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. And that doesn't mean to just live joyfully in the beginning years. It means to remember the woman that God gave you when you were young, and to continue to live joyfully. Can you say amen? Don't let something steal the joy of your relationship away from you. I enjoy this morning sitting just for a few seconds, seemed like. I guess it was 2 or 3 minutes in the beauty of the morning outside with my two ladies. Amen. My wife and Miss Sophie, my old stray dog that loves me like hardly anyone but the Lord. Amen. She almost worships me, but I guess an animal can do that, and we won't have to, because they don't know the Lord. They just know us. God is good. Hallelujah. I will come and manifest my presence where I am welcomed with true worship, praise, honor, reverence, saith God. Yea, there I will show myself strong, saith the Lord. And you will indeed see the wonders that I have promised. You will see them in your lives. You will see them in your families. You will see them in your nation if you continue to intercede and pray for revival. I am the Lord that healeth thee, not just in the old days, but in your day, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory to God. If you have your Bible, just for a few moments. Yes, Lord. Halabaki salamana. If you find the joy of entering into my presence, you will find the power. You will find the strength. You will find the help. You will find the deliverance. You will find the healing. You will find the counsel. You will find the contentment. You will find the true riches, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Without him, it's all irrelevant. Amen. It's amazing how on one hand, we want to suppress the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we don't want to be embarrassed by his moving. And we don't, you know what I'm saying? But on the other hand, we just can't do without him when we have a need. It can't work both ways. We have to take the risk of wildfire to have the real fire. Otherwise, we're going to end up with no fire. We're going to teach these great messages of great truth about God, and God is going to desire to manifest his presence, and it will not be allowed. Amen. And we need it. Amen. We need it more than we need. We need his touch. We need his presence. We need his power. We need the help that he offers us in our life. Can you say amen? We need to see his deliverances again. And when God healed me, I sat and I saw that picture on the wall in a dentist's office of this young man. And it's amazing how fear can get a foothold. And then when the lesion came on my tongue, the enemy sat and would replay that. Sometimes I'd lay down at night and the enemy would come and replay that picture, you know, in front of me. And then I heard a prayer request. Amazing how the enemy's strategies work. On the way to work, not long after that, I heard a prayer request for a minister who had cancer of the mouth. Now that's why I have this lesion on my tongue that is not healing. After seeing that picture that imprinted on my mind, and now I'm having to fight this spirit of fear that is very, very real. Satan will use something. And you know, it usually comes at times when we are weak, when we went through something, when we're not spiritually strong enough to just stand up and rebuke all of this and cast down imaginations. But imaginations would come. Amen. And I remember going back to the basics, back to the Word of God, back to the promises, back to the covenant. And Jehovah Rapha, Psalm 105 said he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. And I say, Lord, you were a healer to ancient Israel. Everyone knew that. A little servant girl knew that. Amen. Down in worked in a house grade. And she worked for a man that was a captain of the Assyrians, but he had contacted leprosy. And now he had to live his life in seclusion, ostracized from every social, political. His job was over. His friends were over. His life was in all over. And he was going to die a slow, agonizing, horrifying kind of death, being shunned by everyone. Even his family couldn't approach him. But this servant girl saw him sitting in humility and contrition in a terrible state. And she said, there is a prophet in Israel who will call upon our God. Amen. Our God is a delivering God. Our God is a healing God. Our God is a merciful, compassionate God. Our God can help you. Amen. No one at that time had ever been healed of leprosy, but our God is a God of the impossible. Our God is a God of power and grace. And there's a prophet down in Israel. You need to go talk to him because he knows how to call upon the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no God like our God. What a preacher this little servant girl was. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, healing is not extraneous to the gospel. It is part of it. Amen. He confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Everywhere they preached following the Great Commission, it said, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And he said, in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's why in the book of James, James knew that. He said, if there's any sick among you, let them call who? The people that gathered around these, Brother Willie this morning. And who are these people? Are they appointed church officials, as we know elders today? Honey, I worked with some of these appointed church officials that became faithless men once they got out of the church house. They became unfaithful men because they entered into the same language and dirty jokes. You couldn't tell they were even Christian when you got them out of their office at church. Amen. It's not appointed people. It's anointed people that make up the elder. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. And elder simply means mature ones in the sense of James 5. Can you say amen in verse 14? If there be any sick among you, let them call the mature ones. Come on, you just don't want some, amen, self-exalting, appointed officer in a church. You want somebody that knows God, like that prophet down in Israel. Can you say amen? Knows what God is capable of. You know someone that knows we got a covenant with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that even people that are not covenant children, if they will obey him and bow to him, can enter into the blessing of the covenant. Hallelujah. 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 There's a prophet down in Israel that knows God and he knows the covenant. And if you go down and talk to him, he can tell you about our great God. A little servant girl, a servant girl, a servant girl in the house of an Assyrian captain, hallelujah, preaching a gospel of the greatness of God. Isn't that incredible? This man, she spoke with such conviction about a God who can manifest his presence that he went down, amen, to the prophet's house, stood before his door. The only thing he took, he shouldn't have took, he took his pride with him. Amen. He took his pride with him. And the prophet's servant came to the door. And he said, well, what do you want? He said, you know, that I might be healed. And he went and told his master. He come back and tells him. He says, you know, he says to go down to Jordan and dip 7 times in the water. The 7th time you'll be clean. Amen. The guy begins to argue because we have preconceived ideas of how God can move. Literally, we put God in a box. There's so many ministries and ministers that have God in a box. He can move when we say He can move. He can move when we allow Him out of the box. Honey, we need to start the service with God out of the box if we want Him to manifest His. Amen. If He wants to interrupt the service, amen, and express the something that He wants to say through the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something. This morning's a good example. There are churches that what took place here this morning could not take place because God is in the box. And we tell Him when He can get out of the box. Can you say amen? Listen, God out of the box shouldn't be an offense to anybody. Amen. There are plenty of dead churches if people don't want a God that can move, that'll accommodate people. Can you say amen? We need a church where God can move, where God will move, where God can touch. Can you say amen? I just can't give agreement in the name of any kind of earthly wisdom to putting God in a box. He wants to change my sermon. He's welcome. In Bible college, they say, stay on track. You get off track, you'll lose your train of thought. Can you say amen? Listen, if it's coming from God, honey, you won't lose it no matter what happens. Amen? If it's coming from God, if it's something you got pre-planned, you can get off track. The train will wreck. Amen. It's going to be a big mess. You better stay on the subject matter. But let me tell you something. If God is in it, hallelujah. I'm glad that God came early today. Hallelujah. I'm glad He was out of the box in the beginning, praise God. I'm glad for the surprise that God gives us when He manifests His presence. Hallelujah. That He surprises us with healing, surprises us with victory, surprises us with joy of His presence. Hallelujah. What a surprise. This usually takes place at the end of the service. Amen. Amen. See, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing to fear in my presence, saith God. There is nothing to draw back from when I manifest my presence. When I do my wonders, when I do my work, saith God. Yea, thou hast called upon my name. Yea, thou hast called upon me in the time of your trouble. Yea, expect me to move. Expect me to move. Expect me to move, saith God. Yea, saith the Lord, expect me to move and you will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. We're so good at it now. We're so good at it. We preachers are so good at it. We think our sermon is so good. We can keep Him in a box until we're ready at a convenient time to call God out to perform. I've heard the cry of my people. I see the desperate need. I want to flow forth. I want my people to bow before me once again. I want a place in the service that is called worship, where I can manifest myself, that my name may be glorified, that men may know that You have a God, and that they may also know that Your God has a people, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this room today. This message on worship is so important and vital, because if we learn how to worship right, we're not going to suppress the presence of the Lord. We're going to learn how to enter into His presence, so that He can actually manifest Himself, amen, to you and to me and to us. We have had so many messages on the power and person of the Holy Spirit. So many messages on the greatness and the goodness of our God. So many messages on faith and how God answers prayer and He helps people and He's a delivering God. So much Bible history of this God. Amen. Both Old and New Testament. The New Testament, the book of Acts, are really the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It's not just the acts of the apostles as if they had something in themselves to do the great things that happened in this book. It's the acts of the Holy Ghost through them. Can you say amen? What God did through them. God heals because of the laying on of hands. Amen. Who gets the glory? The person laying on the hands? Or Jesus said they shall lay hands on the sick. But who is the healer? No matter who lays the hands on, who in the final stage is the healer? And the Lord shall raise them up. It was the Lord that said, I'm going to meet with you in early on in this service, because we didn't have him in a box. What causes me a problem is there are whole congregations that have him relegated to times that he is able to manifest himself, and God doesn't like to be put on a chain that some preacher or some elder decides, or some conclave somewhere meets and decides, when will we allow God to manifest himself to his people? Can you say amen? If you ever get to the place that man scratches their head at your dilemma and you absolutely have to have the supernatural, you need to get in a service where God is not in a box. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen today? If you ever get serious about true worship, you get hungry for the living God. I don't care what kind of a program is put forth in the name of worship. Nothing will suffice you but to be able to know that you have worshiped the living God. Not just watched a worship team perform. Can you say amen? No matter how beautiful the performance or how colorful the words are in the song of praise. Real worship is for God and for God alone. John 4:19-24, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This is the woman that Jesus talked to at Jacob's well. I'm going to move very quickly. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The time is come, and now is, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That is an imperative to worship. Man has always tried to do things his own way. One of the famous people quoted Life magazine in an article was Mortimer Adler. He's a philosopher who came to Christ late in his life. And when he was asked the question in Life magazine about what is the meaning of life, he said this. He said, the question is not why I am here, but how we should live our lives. Did you hear that? Why I'm here is not the supreme issue of your life. It's how you live your life. Amen. That's the supreme issue of your life. I heard a wonderful illustration. I wish I had the whole poem to read to you this morning, but I didn't know we were going in this direction. Amen. God surprises me constantly when I think I've got it all down and he does something different, and that's fine with me, because a lot of things I learn is while preaching those surprise things that he gives me while I'm speaking. Not what I've just studied recently, but something that comes up from within while you're actually speaking. Sean, you know what I'm talking about. You study to show yourself approved. You preach according to the things that you feel in your heart. But while you're preaching, something comes along that you know that you're not good enough to think of. Can you say amen? And you know that had to be God right there. Amen. That didn't come from here. That came from here, and it came from him. Can you say amen? But the funeral we attended, the pastor read a poem about the dash, and it was about the time you're born. There's always a dash, amen, in the obituaries and on the tombstones, the time you were born and the time you died. And the poem was all going down talking about the dash, amen, not about the time you were born or the time you died, but the dash. It's what happened in between. It's the dash that becomes supremely important. Can you say, man, it's not so much how long you live, but how you live. Can you say amen? It's all about how you live. And true worship is not just about how we sing or how we praise, but how we live. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. This is not just your physical body. It's bringing all that you are. This is a container for all that you are. There's a soul and spirit in this body. It's talking about bringing the whole of you. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the Lord sanctify you wholly. In order to be H-O-L-Y, you need to let him do something that involves the whole of you. Can you say amen? The Lord God sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Can you say amen? Say it with me. Spirit, soul, and body. You can't just get the body right, leave the spirit and soul. You can't just get the soul sanctified and leave the spirit and body. You can't get one without that. God wants the whole of you. Can you say amen? He wants my spirit cleansed and set apart unto him. He wants my mind and the seat of my emotions and will cleansed and consecrated and set apart unto him. And he wants my body, amen, set apart unto him. Amen. When he can sanctify me wholly, spirit, soul, and body, he can present me H-O-L-Y in his presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't hear much about holiness these days. But holiness is still the supreme issue to the church of Jesus Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy is not an Old Testament concept. It is a New Testament scripture. Be ye holy in the Old Testament. It said, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. You'd think that God was more deserving of holiness in the Old Testament if you don't understand that he calls for holiness in the New Testament. One of the most fault messages is the message of holiness. Paul hit resistance. Peter hit resistance to that message. There's nobody fighting the message of God healing and delivering people. It's holiness that seems to be such an offense in our generation. It's the matter of sin and getting right with God that we really don't want to talk about in church of all places for fear of offending someone. Listen, folks. Jesus said this, and he taught these things that we're afraid to teach today. You know what he said? Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Amen. They got real upset about some of the things that he said, but he didn't take them back. And he didn't change them, and he didn't lower the bar, and he didn't change, amen, the truth. Can you say amen? To accommodate man's pride or his arrogance. The reason we're offended is because we have a sin issue, and we don't like to hear about it because it convicts us. Conviction is of the Lord. Condemnation comes from Satan. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation is to condemn you. Conviction is to bring you to Christ to be set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. Thank God for it. But Paul said, whoever despises the message of holiness doesn't despise men who bring the message, but God who gave the message. So you can tell if people really love God by how they handle a message on holiness. Amen? Is that biblical to say that? He that despises the message of holiness doesn't despise man who gives the message, but God. Because that message is coming from the heart of God. A holiness church should be every church. Thank you for the hearty amen. People had a problem with our church. Our church name, the Holy Church of God. You know what bothered them? Church of God didn't bother them. The Robert A. Venable Worship Center wouldn't have bothered them. Can you say amen? There's no conviction in my name. Amen. You know what bothered a lot of people? They thought we were going to be some legalistic ministry. No, holiness is not about legalism. It's about sanctification. It's about honoring God. It's about reverencing God. It's about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Bible said to offer your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Can you say amen? Holy, 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 holy. Offer it holy. Can you say amen? Offer yourself unto God. Holy. Amen. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. See, holy comes before acceptable. God will not accept our offering, no matter how sincerely we offer it, unless we let him do something in us called sanctifying us holy. You couldn't just throw anything on God's altars. Can you say amen? God would not accept just anything anyway. Worship is not man prescribed. It wasn't up to man to figure out what God wanted. It was up to man to obey what God clearly stated that he wanted in worship. Amen? Cain made the mistake of man-made worship. He decided. And it makes me know that they had knowledge, because somewhere along the line, Abel found out what God was after. God wanted a sacrifice of an animal, not a sacrifice of grain, because the sacrificial system was going to be a type and foreshadow of Jesus, who would die as the Lamb of God on the cross. And without the shedding of blood, what happens? There is no remission of sin. No sacrifice without His blood on the cross. No Old Testament sacrifice would have been even accepted were it not for Jesus coming to shed His blood. It was a type of that, or God wouldn't have even accepted it then. Otherwise, we could go through those motions and still get forgiven, still go to heaven. No, this was only accepted until He got here. And once He got here, that stopped, and the new covenant began, ratified with His blood. I used to wonder, what was wrong? What was so wrong? Amen. If His heart intent was good. Amen. See, we're dealing with God here. This is not a matter about the intent of your heart. If your intention of your heart is good, then do what God says. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So Abel offered an animal sacrifice. God accepted it, blessed him. Cain came along, his brother, and offered a grain sacrifice. God rejected it. Said, no, I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to bless that. So he became jealous of his brother. What should he have done? He should have found out, what is God blessing? What is God accepting? I'm sorry, Lord. It was impetuous of me to bring you what I thought that you would like, rather than to let you tell me what you want. Amen. So many churches all over America today are giving God what they think He wants. Amen. They've figured out what God wants, and they're going to give it. Really, they're giving the people what they want.
Absolutely.
They're not giving God what He wants. Amen. He wants us to lift up what kind of, not just lift up hands following the worship leader. Lift up what kind of hands before it's qualified as something acceptable unto Him. What kind of sacrifice is He looking for? Holy. Say it with me. Holy. Holy. God is holy. Amen. Where He lives is to be a holy place. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep it. Come on. I don't want to drop holy from our name. If there's people not coming here because holy is part of our name, I don't want them coming through that door, because they're not going to receive the message of holiness. They don't want anything to do with holy unto the Lord. They want all the blessings of the Lord without the holiness of the Lord. You can't have it both ways. God is holy. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Holy Bible. And God's people are a holy nation. Somebody give Him praise. And the New Jerusalem is the holy city. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And wherever He manifests His presence is holy ground. Glory be to God. And what do the angels cry in His presence? Holy, holy, holy. If we got a problem with holy, we got a problem with God. The Lord God sanctify you, holy spirit, soul, and body, so that you can what? Offer your body, the whole of your being, sanctify. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, because if it isn't holy, it's not acceptable. Which is your reasonable service. The actual Greek is way different than that. It actually reads, it's not a misprint, it's just, they didn't bring out the Greek meaning of that. It means, which is your act of spiritual worship, giving yourself to God in consecrated obedience and reverence, is an act of spiritual worship. In fact, without giving yourself to God, nothing we can teach you about praising Him, amen, is going to be acceptable to Him. It'll be acceptable to us. We'll feel good, but it's not going to bless Him. Can you say, man, it's not going to honor Him? Because when we walk out that door, we're going to live praise. You can't give praise and not live praise. Do you hear me? You can't give praise without living praise. What a hypocritical thing it would do to say, I worship You, O Prince of Peace, in here, and walk out the door and not let Him have any lordship or leadership, and to say that I was in a worship service this morning. Huh? Amen? You think God is that thick that He can't figure out that the heart is not attached to the song and the tongue? That our emotions are the only things going? And we sing an emotional song in here and don't live a devotional life? Amen. God said the first thing you need in His Word is to offer your body, the whole of your being, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, literally exemplify. What is that good, perfect, here's that word again, and acceptable. Acceptable. It means that God doesn't accept just any kind of offering of man, but He accepts that He prescribes. That's why He said, you can't worship me in your mountain. The Jews can't worship me in their mountain. The time is coming now is that the only kind of worship God will accept is those that worship me in spirit and in truth. One church decided they would have a cathedral made so beautiful that somehow God would honor that. It has nothing to do with spirit and truth, what we build for Him. A lot of these things are built for our vain glory. The glory of man. Amen. I think we should have a wonderful place of worship. I think we should take care of this place. This is where we come to worship God. Amen. But there's nothing we could build here worthy of Him. Nothing. Amen. He manifests His presence when they bowed to Him. Amen. And the Bible said the glory filled that room. Amen. Of that great temple. There's never been anything. Nobody's ever built anything like Solomon built. The Bible said there was nothing before it and nothing after it. Amen. That could compare with what Solomon built. But it was empty, cold. Amen. Obviously free from the presence of God. You know, man is satisfied with the building. He's satisfied with the PhD preacher. Amen. He's satisfied with the great choir. He's satisfied to identify and rub shoulders with Christian celebrities. Amen. Whether God is actually in the building or not doesn't seem to be the grand issue anymore. You can go into huge buildings and hear messages on faith and not see, amen, a devil cast out. Amen. Why? Because God is in the box. God has to stay in the box because we got a businessman out there. And he's contributing. And if we let God out of the box, he just might be offended. Honey, I think we need to quit worrying about whether the businessman is offended. Amen. Jesus said this, amen. Jesus was the incarnation of God out of the box. Can you say amen? Where Jesus went, strange and unusual things happened. Can you say amen? Amen. Water was turned to wine. Amen. Lepers were cleansed, praise God. Amen. Lame men jumped and run and dumb men talked, praise God. Amen. Jesus was clean out of the box, off the charts. Amen. They wanted to know by what authority He did these things. In other words, we want to put you in our box. Amen. It's okay, but stay in our box. Jesus came to show us God out of the box. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God for real. God moving. God answering prayer again. God manifesting His presence. Hallelujah. The demoniac of the Gadarenes. Thank God Jesus is the one that met him. Thank God it was Jesus and not the church officials of that day. Amen. They couldn't do anything but fail, miserably fail. The doubt that was in Jesus' own followers is because they tried to do the works of God and couldn't do them. And the doubt in the man that brought his son to be delivered, who cast himself in the fire, amen, is because he first brought him to Jesus' disciples and they couldn't handle it. So he brought him to Jesus and Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, you know, I'm hoping for the best. Essentially, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, did you know he first brought him to Jesus' disciples? That's where he brought his son first. Can you say amen? You know what Jesus told those disciples? The works that I do, ye shall do. For as my Father sent me, so send I you in my name. And they did after a while, didn't they? They caught on after a while. Can you say amen? And it got them in trouble. Amen. The lame man ran in the temple in the morning service. Can you imagine that? Amen. Leaping and praising God. Come on. God had to be out of the box for that to happen. I said God had to be clean out of the box for that to happen. There are churches that cannot happen. There are churches that will not happen. But if you're the lame man, you need to get in a church where it can and will happen. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you have a need, get in a church where God can interrupt it. Get in a church where God can interrupt it. Our services, I believe, need interrupting. Amen. By the presence of God. How did we get so good that we don't need God anymore? How did we get so good at preaching that we'd rather hear our perfect tape played back than we would to see God move among his people. I'd rather give up the service to him. Not every service. We need the word. And it's not going to happen that way every service. If you try to make what happened this morning happen next week, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You better come here to worship God next week. Just let him be God. But know while you're worshiping him, if there's somebody in here with a need and God wants to jump in the middle of that need and meet it, this whole service is going to stop and let him do it. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I don't apologize for what just happened this morning. Woo! I want some more. Lord, give me some more of your presence, your power, your surprises. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lord. When we teach on holiness, we're teaching how to approach the presence of God. Not legalism, not works, but where you are in your heart relationship with him. Can you say, man? Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your true spiritual worship. Everybody say, my true spiritual worship. The real stuff follows you out that door. It doesn't start in the worship service. Amen? It doesn't start in the worship service. The worship service is how you live your life. We have a time when we collectively come together to sing his praises. But real worship has to be taking place all through the week for it to count when you come in here. Amen? Because man looks on the what? The outward appearance. But where does God look? He looks on the heart. And if we haven't held him in the right reverent place all week long, how can we come in here and suddenly flip it on? And how can we flip it off when we walk out that door? God's looking at the heart. So this man that came to the Lord late in his life, he said, it's not why we're here. Everybody's trying to figure out, well, it's how you live and who you live for. Because everybody's living for somebody. Amen? I'll read you another quote. It's good. Darlene Sheck, who's one of the lead singers of Hillsong, sings these great songs of praise. She recently wrote, true worship is not about the songs, the vocals, the band, or the choir. Worship, but the essence of worship is when your heart and soul, the core of your being, connects with the Spirit of God. So you see, you can look like you're worshiping, but not actually be worshiping. You can lift up your hands higher than anyone else in praise. You can sing the great hymns of the church with perfect pitch, but still not be worshiping God, because true worship is not an outward expression. It begins with an inward attitude. Isn't that good to hear from a worship leader that understands what you see when those hands go up may not be what God sees when he looks at the heart? I respect her for having that kind of attitude toward worship, that she's not just a gospel performer, another in the long line of gospel performers, that she worships her God. At the funeral of Louis the 14th, perhaps Francis, and particularly in history, Francis' greatest king that was given to him as a legacy looking back. The cathedral was packed out with mourners. The funeral was held at nighttime, and the only light in that vast cathedral was one lone candle right by the casket, containing the mortal remains of that great monarch. They wanted the focus. They didn't have a spotlight. They didn't have the lighting that we could create ambient lighting and turn the big lights down and leave one spotlight on the casket. The only way they could achieve that back in that day was to have one candle in a whole cathedral at night. You can imagine how dark it was except for the one candle that illuminated the casket where the king lay in state. And now it's time to cast that light upon the greatness of that king. At the appointed time, the court preacher, and boy, he was a man of God. I tell you, you got to be careful when you turn a man of God loose in your pulpit. Can you say amen? You got to be very cautioned about that. Amen. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He said, I believe that I have preached myself out of many pulpits. It's because of his stand for God, amen, that a lot of people are afraid to turn him loose. Amen. He might say the three-letter word. Amen? Everybody, hey, boy, some of y'all know it well. Amen? Why, where did we get this aversion to sin? Where did we get this exaltation of self? Where did we come to the place that we think that our preaching can take the place or supplant the presence of God? When you need healing, you don't just need a great preacher, you need the great physician. Can you say amen? He's still Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? But you can't get it your way. You got to get it His way. Everything you receive, it's got to be His way. If Jesus decides just to show you, it's got to be His way to heal the blind man by spitting on the ground and taking the mud, taking the sand and blending it with the spittle and putting it in your eye and then saying, not just anywhere, go to the pool of Siloam. In that pool, wash out the spittle and the grain from your eyes. And the man did what he said, amen, without question, and he came back seeing. See, God prescribes all of this stuff. We never approach God our way. We come His way. And it's part of our reverence for Him by coming His way. Hallelujah. This Assyrian king stood at the doorway of the prophet, and a mere servant came out and said, go jump up and down in Jordan 7 times. And he said, but I thought, here's man going to make his own way, put God in the box, do his own thing, and have God jump to his tomb. Here's man with his pride, his arrogance, his impetuousness. Here's man, amen, with his insolence, amen. Listen to this, standing before a holy God telling him how he's to operate. We're telling him that in services all over America this morning. God is in the box, make no mistake about it. If he got out of the box, people would not know what to do in that service. One morning, amen, in a Pentecostal church that had been dead for years, as dead as any church that they criticized, amen, the pastor came out from behind the pulpit, which he had stopped from doing because people had criticized him for being too emotional when he preached. So he made it a practice of standing right behind the pulpit, and everyone just sat there and watched him preach, you know, amen. No one really did anything else. I'm not talking about, you know, trying to get people emotional, but sometimes we need to get free. Can you say amen? Well, one morning he got so excited about the Lord, he forgot about the good talk the good brothers had given him about, you know, not offending anyone and getting rid of this stigma of holy roller and all that kind of stuff. So he started out behind the pulpit, and he hadn't been out from behind the pulpit, and he came around the pulpit, and the way it was arranged, amen, it caught his belt buckle as he come around the corner on some of the ornate work on this wooden pulpit. His belt buckle just caught on that when he came out, because he came out excited. He said he just couldn't stand it. He said, Jesus is Lord. And he said it again, Jesus is Lord. And he just couldn't stand still anymore. And he stepped to one side and hollered to the audience, Jesus is Lord. Caught his belt buckle on the side of the pulpit, span around in circle 3 times, and fell down flat. And the whole church came alive in worship and praise. It wasn't God, but they sure got free that morning. Can you say amen? Everybody said, hallelujah. It's like we used to remember when the pastor got anointed and fell out in the spirit. We all just praised God till time to go home. God moves in unusual ways. Go dip in Jordan 7 times. He said, but I thought your master would come out and he would wave his hand over me and call upon the name of his God, and I would be healed while I stand erect and proud. See, we're so concerned about the pride of man and not offending it. And God said, listen, amen, God resists that pride, but he gives mercy and grace to the humble. Can you say amen? Humble yourself under the mind. Maybe it would be a humbling experience for some people to get in a church where God isn't in the box. I'm telling you, if there's pride there, they need to experience that humility. Can you say amen? The businessman is no exception. He needs Christ as much as the garbage man. Can you say amen? Hello, are you listening to me? The businessman needs Jesus just as much as the garbage man. The businessman with cancer needs to humble himself, amen, and be healed. Just like, amen, the maid. Where did we let stature dictate how God is going to receive people? We all come to a common ground at the foot of that old rugged cross, and we all bow with our face to the earth and exalt him who gave his life on that tree for us. Christ. Amen. Because in Jesus Christ, there is no bond. There is no free. There is no rich. There is no poor. There is no black, no white, no yellow, no red, no Baptist, no Methodist, no charismatic, no Pentecostal. Amen. We are one. No Jew and no Greek. We are one in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Man's dignity has no place in the presence of this great King. The funeral was held at nighttime for Louis XIV, France's greatest king ever. The only light in that vast cathedral was one lone candle right by the casket containing the mortal remains of the great monarch. At the appointed time, the court preacher got up to address the assembled clergy and the dignitaries of France. He ascended to the pulpit. And when he reached out from the pulpit and snuffed out the lone candle, which symbolized the greatness of the king. And then in total darkness, he uttered four words. Only God is great. In the silence and darkness of that room and the sureness of death. Only God is great. In other words, if you're here to talk about the greatness of this man and leave out the greatness of God and not bow to him, I want you to know his light has just went out. Only God is great. Can you say amen? We need an only God is great attitude in worship. Amen. We got people following celebrity preachers, the blind, many times if they go astray. The amazing thing to me is they still have a following. It's amazing in their own spiritual blindness, they miss it. But people still follow them blindly, fulfilling the scripture of the last days, blind leading the blind. It's not amazing to me that anyone can go astray. What amazes me is that Christians with Bibles that claim to be followers of Jesus will follow them instead of him. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You don't follow them, you follow him. The best preacher you'll ever get is not one that hooks you up to him, to himself, but hooks you up to Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, if that preacher fails tomorrow, it won't faze you. That man didn't die for you. That woman didn't hang on Calvary. Jesus is the one we owe our allegiance to. He's the one we should follow. When anyone veers from him, we shouldn't follow them. We should follow him. Somebody give him praise in this room. Only God is great. Only God is great. Worship has got to be based on the sovereignty of God. Only God is great. Only God is worthy. Only God is worthy to be worshipped. There's only one in the universe that the angels cry holy to. Hallelujah. Only one. Wow. The book of Romans is a tremendous book, Romans 12, 1 and 2, because after 11 chapters of doctrine defining the Christian, all his benefits, Paul says in response to all this, God wants something from you. Spiritual worship, which is acceptable to him. The word acceptable is an important word of sacrifice and worship. Anyone who seeks to bring God that which is acceptable. This word also appears at the end of verse 2, that you may prove what is good and acceptable unto him. What does God want out of a believer? He wants acceptable spiritual worship. Begins with the presentation of the body as a living sacrifice. The whole of our being. All that we are and all that we have. So because of God's great mercy to us, he calls on us to present ourselves as an act, and in an act of spiritual worship. Simply put, God saved us that we might truly, acceptably worship him. Isn't it amazing? A type of our salvation is the following the type of deliverance from Egypt. That type is there. The Passover is incorporated into our Holy Communion. Can you say amen? Why did he bring them out? Why did he bring them out? So they could be free to do their thing? No. He said, let my people go that they may serve me and worship me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? You were set free to worship God with the whole of your life, for the rest of your life. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah. Halabakisanama salamanite rashalabakitia sedamanite. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And why would I visit such a small, humble setting as this, when there are greater places for me to manifest myself? Greater buildings, greater numbers. Why would I grace you with my presence to heal and to help, to set free and to deliver? It's because you are bowing and you are becoming true worshipers. Ascend to my hill. I invite you to come. I will accept you in my Son. Bow. And then believe. And you'll see the greatness and the glory of your great God, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise. Stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. Let's give him praise before we leave here today. When did we get so good at it that we could tell God how to run his business? We could tell him when to move, when we will allow it and when we will forbid it. When did we come to that place of arrogance? This man, the Assyrian, said, this is how God heals. This is how I will accept it. It's not how you will accept it. It's how he accepts you. God shook his head, said, I told you what he said. It's up to you whether you do it or not. Then he turned to his advisors that went with him. He said, are not there more honorable rivers back in Assyria? Are not? Isn't there? In other words, he's desperately trying to hold on to his pride and not humble himself and receive what he needed from God. He's still trying to hold on to it. We make accommodations for man's pride. We can't get him healed. We can't get him delivered. We don't see God's wonders. Amen. God doesn't show up, but the service goes on without a hitch. Because, amen, he's in the box that we religiously made for him. We need to get him out. He needs to be out. He needs to be out. I'll never forget my uncle. He was Pentecostal preacher. He preached for the Church of God. He was the youngest man, and I led him back to Christ. He fell away in our service. We saw him come back to the Lord. I spoke at his funeral. He was the youngest man to ever achieve to go up the ladder, the hierarchy ladder, in to be a general overseer over a district in the history of the Church of God. He was making strides. Amen. He went from a church of 50, amen, to a church of 150 and built a new church. Then he went to a church of 800 in Kannapolis, North Carolina, before the mega churches came on the scene. But when he fell, great was his fall. And he had to humble himself. And he did humble himself. He didn't try to reach out for some position anymore. He said, you think that I could use a Sunday school room to counsel people that had problems with alcohol and drug abuse and marriage failures and all the things that I have been through, that maybe I could be a benefit to somebody else now? And he said, could I borrow some of your books to refresh myself and study again? And I picked out some study helps that I knew would bring him right back to the Word. And he'd been a pastor for way longer than me at that point. But he was a night watchman at a phosphate mine, and he would read those books and read his Bible and prepare himself to reach out and humbly. He said, I'm not worthy to stand behind a pulpit anymore. But he said, if I can counsel somebody to not make the mistakes I made, maybe I can turn somebody toward God. Amen. The last time I was with him personally, amen, we were at a Full Gospel Business Men's meeting, and we sat together. We walked outside. Amen. As we walked outside, he stopped. We were standing in front of my car as we walked outside. And he began to weep, and tears began to run down his cheeks. And he said, Bobby, the anointing is upon you. He said, son, the anointing is more precious than any position you'll ever hold in any church or organization. The anointing is more precious than silver or gold or anything anyone could give you, anything you could achieve ministerially. There's nothing that can take the place of the holy anointing. And he said, I see it on you. And he said, I feel like God has taken the mantle that was on me and he's laid it on you. He said, son, don't violate it. Don't compromise it. Don't sell it out for anything or anyone. You see, God wants to be out of a box in somebody's life, so we actually hear from him and from heaven on Sunday morning, not just hear what the people desire. Where can you go to hear, thus saith the Lord? If it offends the proud, fine. No one's going to come to him unless they humble down. Why change the message to accommodate pride? So the proud man can still keep it. A week after that, I got a phone call that on the way home from work in the wee hours of the morning, he worked a night shift. According to the man's testimony, driving a tanker truck down Highway 39, south of 62-lane highway, there was a man in an old Cadillac, over 100,000 miles, a sleepy man sitting behind that wheel. And the man nodded, and he saw him weave over, but then he jerked up like he had control again. So the guy in the truck maintained his speed, 60 miles an hour. You know, there's nowhere to go with a tanker truck at 60 miles an hour. But when he got right up to him, the man that looked like he was alert and in charge nodded again. This time when he nodded, the truck swerved over. The impact took place. The car was absolutely demolished. You can imagine the impact. My cousin, the oldest son, went to identify the body of his dad, and he said there wasn't one mark on him. Not one speck of blood, not one bruise, not one mark. He was just instantly killed in that crash. And in the back seat of that Cadillac were the books, Strong, that I had given him as he studied. For one purpose, not to preach in a pulpit and claim any kind of renown, simply to say, don't make the mistakes that took my family, my ministry, my relationship with God, strip me. There is a devil that came to steal, kill, and destroy, but there is a Christ that came, hallelujah, that said, I come to give you life, to give it to you more abundantly. And sin is an issue, but sin can be dealt with if we will admit it, that it is an issue. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he's home with the Lord. His health had failed completely. The doctor said, I didn't see how he could walk around in his state of health, because I can't go into the detail of where sin took him, but I'll tell you this, sin will take you where you don't want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And when you decide you want to get out of that prison, it will not let you go. But there is one who will shake that prison house. Can you say amen? Who's anointed to set the captive free. And him I declare unto you here today, and anyone who hears this message. Can you say amen?